Oh, I'm so cold. Very cold.
Oh no, DM. What happened to Theodore? He seems so sick.
I don't know, Willy. Ever since the Cybermen started attacking, he's just been kind of uselessly laying around, leaving us to take up the slack. If we hadn't defeated their mechanical machinations, I don't know who would have. Certainly not Theodore.
Oh, I'm cold.
Oh look, he's collapsing again. Hey Theodore, just lie your head on this pillow here. It will be alright.
What's happening to Theodore?
I don't know. His face. It's changing.
It's like his whole body is rejuvenating somehow.
Oh my god. What just happened?
Oh, a change, me dear. And not a bloody moment too soon.
But you're not Theodore. Where's Theodore? You just changed into a completely different person.
It's like you regenerated.
Hey, just like Doctor Who.
Oh yeah, hey, you're right. Doctor Who. Hey, that show was pretty good, huh?
Yeah, Doctor Who was great. I always liked the story where the Martians attacked the moon. I think it was called Seeds of Doom?
Seeds of Doom? Oh, you mean the Seeds of Death.
I always get them confused with the Green Death.
I always get the Green Death confused with the City of Death.
I get the City of Death confused with the Ambassador's Death.
Really, I find I'm always mixing Ambassadors of Death with Robots of Death.
But we are talking about Seeds of Doom.
Well, that one I always confuse with the Hand of Fear. I don't know why.
Really? You don't confuse Hand of Fear with Web of Fear?
No, I mistake Web of Fear for the Web Planet.
What about Mind of Evil?
Oh, yeah, totally confuse Mind of Evil with Face of Evil and Planet of Evil.
I don't, but for some reason I always get the Time Warrior and the Time Monster mixed up.
I'm fine with the Time Monster, but I confuse the Time Warrior with the Ice Warriors and Warrior's Gate.
I'm okay with Warrior's Gate, but I sometimes get Ice Warriors mixed up with Warriors of the Deep.
I sometimes mistake the invisible enemy for the enemy of the world.
I've been known to muddle the android invasion with the Dalek invasion of Earth. The invasion of the dinosaurs, and the invasion of time. Silly of me.
Well, on my bad days, I can't tell the difference between Colony in Space, the Ark in Space, Frontier in Space, Spearhead from Space, Wheel in Space, or the Space Museum.
I mix the Planet of Giants with Planets of the Daleks, Planets of the Spiders, Tenth Planet, and the Pirate Planet.
I always get Attack of the Cybermen confused with Revenge of the Cybermen myself.
I always get Encyclopedic Knowledge of Doctor Who confused with Real Achievement.
Me too.
Dudes, how is yours?
Oh my god, Theodore regenerated into a bogan.
Pleased to meet you, Theodore 2. Willy.
Theodore 2, so bloody clunky. Just call me Dazza.
Okay, Dazza, what's that short for, Dave?
Nah, it's Dazza. It's what it says on me birth certificate.
Oh well, I'm the DM.
Ah, and how do you spell that? With a Y?
No. Why would I spell it with a Y? Where would the Y go?
Well, there must be a Y in there somewhere.
No, my name comprises two letters, D and M. No Y.
Oh, mate. Well, you gotta fix that. Having no Y in your name is un-Australian.
It's okay, Dazza. You can spell my name with a Y.
So, enough laying around. What are we doing today?
Oh, well, we're going to the birthday party of a mutual friend. You can come too.
Oh, you beauty! When will we leave?
Right now, I've finished wrapping his present and I'm getting him a picnic basket. Who doesn't like a picnic basket? And it's a perfect present because I guarantee you, nobody around here has a picnic basket.
Well, that's a cracker. Well, I better give your friend something too if I'm going. How about a bandana? Bandanas are wicked. Do you think he already has a bandana?
Bandanas. I just don't get bandanas. Since when was it cool to wear a handkerchief on your head?
Shush, DM. It's the thought that counts. Dazza, I'm sure your friend will love it.
Oh, bloody oath! What about you, DM? What are you getting him?
Oh, I've drawn him a comic. It's about Muhammad. Yeah, it depicts Muhammad and it depicts him doing all these things.
Are you sure that's bloody wise and that, DM?
What? It's a self-made present. It's from the heart. What's not to like?
You can't depict Muhammad, DM. Ever. Especially not in something so light-hearted as a comic.
You can't? Since when?
Oh, you might make some religious people very angry, DM. People declare jihad on people for that sort of thing.
But why?
Because you can't put Muhammad in a bloody comic.
Why? Would I have to pay him royalties, or is it like when the Black Eyed Peas got in trouble for sampling Casey and the Sunshine Band without permission?
Seriously, DM, if you have your heart set on doing something like this, you might want to learn to defend yourself.
Oh, well, I can defend myself.
Really?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I learnt the mystic art of the ninja from the Orient.
From the bloody Orient?
What's the Orient?
You know, it's the East. It's a blanket term for all things Eastern, like the Far East, the Middle East, you know.
Oh, righto, so you've been to the Middle East then?
I never knew you'd been to the Middle East. Where did you go? Lebanon? Syria?
No, I never said I'd been to the Middle East.
Oh, so Asia then? China? Vietnam? I mean, what, Japan? Where did you learn your ninjutsu?
Oh, I'd like to go to Japan. They got some top sheilas there.
No, I've never been to Japan.
Well, then where did you...
Mate, I thought you said you learnt ninjutsu in the Far East.
Look, okay, fine. I went to a karate class in Burnside.
In Burnside?
It's in the east, isn't it? It's east of the city. To get there, you have to go in the direction of east.
But it's not really the Far East.
It's far if you have to get everywhere by bus. I was waiting 40 minutes for that 147.
I mean, really, wouldn't the Middle East be New Zealand?
Yeah, that's true. And wouldn't Japan technically be in the north, the north-northwest, the far northwest? So what's the Middle East then?
Well, I flew over Iraq and Afghanistan last time I went to London. So the Middle East would be the two-thirds of the way between here and London.
No, but that's the northwest. The Far East would maybe be Iceland?
No, the Far East would be Europe. The Middle East would be bloody America.
The exotic wonders of the Middle East. Home of the Big Mac and Oprah Winfrey, where I can sip sherbet in a public bath while being oiled by a Negro, just like in the paintings of John Leon Jerome.
Look, anyway, this is ridiculous. If you reckon you can defend yourself, then you only have yourself to blame. We're going to be late if we don't leave for this party right now.
A party? Oh, I can't wait. I'm going to have a flaming good time.
Great. Our new housemate speaks like Alf from Home and Away. It's fantastic.
This is John Rhys-Davies, and I hate the role-playing hour. Ah! They're eating my legs.
This is Lance Henriksen, and I hate the role-playing hour because they smell bad and they make my Cocker Spaniel uncomfortable.
Quick, let's jump into this taxi. It'll take us forever to get to this party.
Well, hello, and where would you like to go?
This is the address. I've got it written down here.
Very good.
I still don't see what all the fuss is about. Mate, when we get there, just try to have a bonza time at the party, alright?
Oh, wait a moment. The street is blocked. We have to wait for this rally of Muslims for humanitarian rights to pass.
Oh, yeah, cool, okay.
Don't worry. It's not your fault. I won't charge you while we wait. So, you are going to a party? That sounds like fun.
Yes, but these guys are overreacting.
You should hear what this guy's planning to give for a present to the party.
What? What's so bad about it?
Crikey.
What are you giving as a present at the party?
Nothing. Something fun, something light, a little silly.
Oh, well, that sounds harmless.
Tell the bloke, DM.
What? It's a comic about Muhammad.
What?
It depicts the adventures of Muhammad. Oh, it's so amusing.
You can't do that.
Why not?
It's racist.
How is it racist? Look at you. You're actually a Muslim taxi driver. How cliche. If this wasn't real life and it was written or performed or something, you would be offensive because you're the stereotype.
I'm not a stereotype.
You are.
Wait, let me wind down my window and ask somebody. Hey, rally of Muslims for human rights. Am I a stereotype?
No, you are not a stereotype.
Oh, you see, I told you.
The taxi driver's existence is not offensive, DM.
I just don't see why it's so bad to make a funny little comic and put Muhammad in it.
Wait, did I hear you say that you drew a comic depicting Muhammad?
Yes, it's great. Oh, it's so funny. You see, at one point he goes to a brothel and...
You can't do that!
Why not?
It's truth, DM.
You can't do it because it's offensive to Muslims.
What? Muhammad's a Muslim and isn't offended. I do this sort of thing all the time.
Muhammad would be offended?
How do you know?
I heard it from a very reliable source quoting a very reliable source who is a very reliable source quoting someone who knew one of the relatives of the Prophet.
The Prophet?
Wait. Oh, wait. I see what the confusion is. I don't mean Muhammad. I mean Muhammad.
What?
I don't mean the Prophet Muhammad. I mean my friend, Muhammad.
Huh?
It's my friend having the birthday. He's called Muhammad. I put him in the comic as my present.
Well, you could have said...
Well, I didn't say Muhammad, did I? I mean, there's only one Muhammad, right? But there are millions of Muhammads.
Why did you automatically think I meant Muhammad?
I always called Muhammad, we know, Momo. I have to admit, I thought you meant Muhammad too, DM, and not, you know, Muhammad. Writing a comic about Muhammad is really bad, but writing a comic about Muhammad is fine.
Okay, look, but 78.3% of all the male Muslims I know are called Muhammad. If I think Muhammad, I naturally think of all the Muhammads I know, not Muhammad.
Where does the 0.3% come from?
Oh, one of the Muhammads I know is a Bogan, so he spells his name with a Y.
Yes!
Jeez, this is such a minefield. Obviously, I meant my friend Muhammad and not the real Muhammad.
Our friend Muhammad is real, DM.
You have to be careful in case you offend people. You don't want to be racist.
It's just, you know, it's just so hard to know what's racist these days. I mean, what would I think is racist? I think that Chinese musical cue they use in kung fu movies is racist. You know? That. Can a musical cue be racist? I think it can, but you know, that one is open to debate, I guess.
Oi, mate. Musical cues can be racist. Right? Trust me.
Sad trombone noise. You have been accused of the mass murder of civilians during the siege of Sarajevo. How do you plead?
You really had us worried there, DM. I really thought you drew a comic depicting the Prophet Muhammad, like that Danish cartoonist whose name nobody knows, who nobody knows anything about except for the fact that he drew a comic depicting the Prophet Muhammad.
Oh yeah, mate. I was ready to disassociate myself from you, and I spent last Australia Day sitting on me porch and drinking beer and yelling at Aborigines to get out of our bloody country because they only immigrated here 30,000 bloody years ago. Bloody parasites. Probably just came to get in the doll. Really? The whole thing has just been a huge misunderstanding. I haven't been responsible for a misunderstanding this big since I was put in charge of administration for the International Day of Peace March.
Okay, and when the peace marchers reach the base of the podium, press the button for the balloon release to symbolize the free spirits of each living human being in the world where there is peace and harmony for all.
Oh! Balloon release.
Yes. Is there a problem? Did you not order the balloons? Tell me you didn't forget to order the balloons.
Oh, no, I ordered. Well, you see, you gave me that memo and it was really difficult to read your handwriting.
But you typed the orders, right? What did you think I said? Oh, never mind. The peace marchers are here. Just press the button.
Okay. I thought it said baboon release.
Oh my God! It's chewing my cheeks, my face, and my testicles!
What are you doing here, sad trombone? I thought you were sentenced to death by hanging by The Hague.
Sometimes I wonder what is going on in your mind, DM. Sometimes I just wish I could see what bizarre processes are going in that mind of yours. What if I could see them right now?
Another yellow car. Why do people buy yellow cars? Especially yellow sports cars. I bet nobody buys them. They must have won the yellow car in a competition. Yeah, that's it. I bet anyone who has a yellow sports car won it in a competition. They must have. It's the only explanation that makes any sense.
It's not that interesting. Well, you should be more careful, Mr. DM, whatever your name is. You know it is a sensitive issue now, with people saying multiculturalism is dead. And just the other month, British MP Baroness Saida Wasi claimed that racism against Muslims has passed the dinner table conversation test.
What does that mean?
Well, it means that in polite society, it is now socially acceptable to speak of Muslims condescendingly and in a racist way at the dinner table, speaking of them always as the other, as an outgroup.
That's interesting.
Yes, think about it. As Orientalist Edward Said wrote, you can go to any Western bookshop and see books on the Arab mind, understanding Muslims, or explaining the Arab. Imagine if there were similar books called the Negro mind or understanding the Negro. How much of a furor would there be then? on any midnight radio show, you can do a silly voice about a Muslim, but if you were doing a silly voice about a Negro, there would be a furor. And meanwhile, America might invade a Middle Eastern country, and then, when the government the invaders try to set up is rejected, America has the gall to publish articles in reputable journals explaining to a literate public that those in the Middle East simply do not have the cultural capacity to understand democracy?
Well, I can see how you might be annoyed. Is this march over soon?
Really, when people are so ignorant and insensitive, I think they should go to jail! Racists should go to jail!
Well, you know, some forms of racism are illegal, but others are just a little immoral. It's immoral, but it's not illegal. Different thing.
Oh, not always.
Ah, how I do love cheating on my wife while imbibing far more alcohol than is good for me here in sunny Saudi Arabia.
Stop, in the name of the law!
What? Who are you, the morality police?
Yes, as a matter of fact, we are.
Oh, well, it's a fair cop then. Yes, okay, Mr. Taxi Driver, touche. But really, what you're talking about is closed-minded ignorance, which is even more difficult to banish than immorality.
Sweet, sweet immorality.
Immorality is God's way of rewarding people who are smart enough to see there is no hell.
Guys, you're not helping.
Hey, I heard there's a guy who depicted the Prophet Muhammad in a comic.
Oh no, these rumors are getting out of control now. Taxi Driver, perhaps you should just take us home.
Well, we are stuck here for a little longer, I am afraid.
We'll just have to try and pass the time then, while keeping this under the radar. So, what did you do last weekend, DM?
Me? Oh, I interviewed John Rhys-Davies. You know, he starred as Gimli in Lord of the Rings, and he was in Indiana Jones and, you know, I, Claudius, stuff like that.
You interviewed John Rhys-Davies?
Yeah, I was bored, you know, I thought, what should I do this weekend? And then I thought, I know, I'll interview star of stage and screen, John Rhys-Davies.
Uh-huh. And how was that?
Yeah, it's pretty good, you know, it's pretty good.
Uh-huh.
Wait, let me just remember what it was like. Hang on, it's all coming back to me now, I'm remembering. Yes, interviewing John Rhys-Davies.
All hail John Rhys-Davies, father of Gimli, son of Gloin. Hello, Mr. John Rhys-Davies. It's a fantastic pleasure to meet you.
Hey, well, it's very fortunate that you should actually pick on me at this very time of the day, because we dwarves, we tend to get up very early, you know, and we like to work through the night and then delving in the dark mines of Moria, as they say.
I've heard that dwarven women have beards. I think I might have accidentally ordered one from a Russian bride internet site. Do you have any idea where I should return her to? Is there a mine somewhere? Or?
Well, first of all, I really object to the notion that you can buy a dwarvish wife. You cannot buy a dwarvish wife. They are truculent, difficult, and only wooable by dashing and valiant older dwarves.
I see, I see. Now, you've spent a fair amount of time in New Zealand by now, and you may know of the Australia-New Zealand. There's a bit of a rivalry. Do you subscribe to that rivalry between the two countries?
Well, if you mean, do I know Middle-earth? Yes, of course I know Middle-earth. Like the back of my hands, yes. Unfortunately, the Middle-earth has been shaking a wee bit. Yes, I understand there's a wee rivalry between the two of you. Yes. You buggers can't play rugby for anything, can you, really?
Perhaps we need some dwarves on our team, I think, really. That would
absolutely
help.
Absolutely. We sent some English dwarves over to play cricket with you the other day, and that seemed to have come a bit adrift for you. What's the matter with you lads? Can't you get it up anymore? Is that your problem?
I don't know. We've just there's been a all the energy is gone from us. I think Sauron may have possibly something to do with it. Maybe draining the energy from our once fine peoples, bringing the land into darkness. Frankly, maybe you could do something about that.
Well, that's why we're here. That's why Armageddon has come, to shed a bit of light on some of the mysteries of life, nature, and the universe. And where else would you get to see the fabulous Karen Allen?
Indeed, and are you enjoying yourself so far on the Armageddon tour? Do you like meeting the fans? Do you see any crazy fans? Anyone dressed up like Gimli or anything like that?
Well, yes. As a matter of fact, I do actually get to see the fans, and that's really the reason for doing it. Most of the time, an actor, when he works in the theatre, knows who the audience is. The further you get away from that audience, in television and then into film, the harder it is to see who are the real people who actually put, you know, the bread and butter on your table every day. And I love my fans. I love coming to see them. They fill me with awe and humility and elation most of the time. They have such interesting lives. Many of them have really interesting lives, and it's just such a privilege to know them.
Have you met anyone with like a fans come up to you and they have a full John Rhys-Davies back tattoo or anything like that, and they want you to sign their tattoo or anything like that?
I would hate that.
Would you like to see my... No, you don't want to see my back tattoo.
I wouldn't want to see any part of you.
It's you're smiling churlishly and there's a sparkle coming off one of your teeth. One thing that bothered me about when I was watching the Lord of the Rings trilogy was we know that you're Gimli, son of Gloin, but we never really hear much about Gloin. You're an actor, you're method, so you would have thought about this. Was there problems in that household? I mean, Gimli wasn't in the house very often. Was he running away from something? Was joining the Fellowship to destroy the Ring of Doom just, you know, a cry for help, really, because of his troubles with his father, Gloin?
I think you misunderstand dwarvish society. In all the visions of perfection that you could possibly have, central to it would be the world of the dwarves. We are romantic, passionate, elusively handsome in our own ways. There is about us a slightly contentious nature. Perhaps there is a bit of sibling rivalry that leads to bloodshed on a fairly regular basis. Parasite is not entirely unknown, but by and large we get on terribly well, and we keep a fair distance from each other. And as you alluded earlier on, the real perplexing quality about it in dwarvish society is many of our dwarvish women have beards, and if you get the wrong chat-up lying in the bar at night, you can get into a hell of a ray of trouble.
Now, it was heartwarming in the film to see that the elves and the dwarves eventually became friends, Gimli and Legolas, their rivalries, they overcame them. But don't you think really personally that, you know, elves are a bit namby-pamby, and there was Legolas, he was getting to surf on elephants and all that sort of thing. Shouldn't Gimli have been able to do some of that kind of thing? Wouldn't you have liked to surf on an elephant?
Frankly, I'd be safer inside a horse than on the back of a horse. But that aside, elves do tend to show off a bit, don't they? You know, I'm personally a bow and an arrow. What is that? Anyone can pull a bit of wood one way or the other. But for real wet work, you should use an axe. I love scrambling a bit of orc brain with an axe, you know. First, I like to get them behind the leg, behind the knee. That brings them down to your level. And once you got them down on the floor, then, you know, you just got to keep out of the way of their snapping teeth and just, well, you know, just use the axe a few times.
I think that's great advice. We can all take something from that. You know, I met Orlando Bloom once, and all I asked for was a single lock of his golden hair, and he gave it to me. It was a beautiful, beautiful moment. You know, we can't have a fellowship in Australia. It's illegal. You have one fellow, you have another fellow. Can't have a fellowship. Not legally. In the privacy of their own homes, they can, but can't adopt a child or do anything like that, which is rather tragic. You have done a lot more, though, than just sci-fi and fantasy. You've been in everything. You've done just about everything there is. I think if we got all your appearances on DVD, put them side to side, they'd go all the way to the moon. You've been in Zed Cars, I, Claudius, Star Trek, Sliders. I understand in the theater you've done just about everything Shakespeare ever put to paper. I think you've done his shopping list. I haven't seen Chupacabra Terror or Never Say Never Mind the Swedish Bikini Team, but you have done just about everything. I, Claudius in particular, was a great show, I think. That was
remarkable, wasn't it? Yes. There was a time when British television really made some extraordinarily good things. The Naked Civil Servant, I, Claudius. But then the Americans did. I mean, I did Shogun, and that was a fabulous piece of filmmaking, really. In truth, all actors need one essential ingredient, and that is good luck. And I have been blessed with it. I've had the most wonderful and adventurous life, but I always managed just to be in the right place at the right time. Or not in the wrong place at the wrong time. I was in Christchurch when the earthquake happened, but I was about 27 miles away, and it was a very mild shake. It has been a blessed life, and the paths have been wonderful.
I understand that part of what got you into acting was an interest in classic literature and things like that. Is there a piece of classic literature that they've all been adapted, but is there one that you'd like to be a part of? If they adapted it, you'd like to be a part of that you haven't been involved in so far, a classic book?
Right at the moment, I'm narrating the Bible, would you believe, which is proving to be quite an adventure in itself. Yes, I mean, I love the old dog fox himself, Odysseus. I had a pretty good education, and my imagination was partly made by being an only child growing up in Africa, with a father who loved books, and listening to radio as well. Radio is such a wonderful source of information, and it teaches you to use your imagination.
I look forward to hearing you narrate the Bible. That would be quite powerful stuff, I think. Of course, we have to remember that you also aided and abetted the raiding of the Lost Ark, which is another thing that you're beloved for. Any strong memories from that?
Well, I have many memories of raiders, and many memories of the Last Crusade as well. But to bring us back to Armageddon, one of the reasons I've come to this particular Armageddon was to see my darling friend Karen Allen again, who I think is not only is a wonderful and successful film star in her own right, but managed to retain the ability to be the most wonderful human being as well. I love and adore Karen, and I urge every male who loves a beautiful face to come and see hers at Armageddon this weekend.
So anyone that comes down to Armageddon can look forward to seeing both you and her and many other fantastic stars.
Lance, wonderful Lance. He and I went out and did a radio show last night, and he was brilliant, and he's such an interesting man. He's had such an interesting career, and he's a good man too.
Just a couple more quick questions. I understand because I watch Lord of the Rings every day, and I watch the special features every day, and I sleep on a bed of Lord of the Rings DVDs every night. I understand when you were playing Gimli that the makeup was particularly uncomfortable, particularly painful. How did you cope with that?
Well, I didn't. The truth of the matter is there was a lovely bunch of people working on that film. There was only one grumpy old bastard, and that was me. All I can say is that when your face is falling apart, I mean, I was so revolting. I mean, the makeup stripped basically all the skin around my eyes off, and you then get a histamine response, and your face becomes puffy and angry and all horrible. I mean, I was so repulsive that my then companion said to me one day, "Darling, I really don't know how to say this to you, but I can't bear to look at you any longer. I've got to go back to L.A. So she went back to L.A. I was pretty ghastly and therefore pretty grumpy too.
What would it take to get you for any project in that level of prosthetics again? I mean, a private island, a small country. What would people have to bribe you with to make you do something like that again?
They would be starting points, wouldn't they?
So if we want to see you in Big Mama's House 4 or something like that, then that's...
Oh, yes, I'd love to. whatever. Listen, I'm a very lucky man. I've I've met wonderful directors. I've had wonderful parts. One day the phone will stop going. I hope it isn't just yet. In fact, I know it isn't just yet. But one day it will. But please know then, I won't have the slightest worry about it or slightest regret. The boobs I have made, I have made. The fortunes and successes that I have had have been partly down to me, but largely down to the generosity of other people and wonderful actors.
What will we see you in next? We'll hear you narrating the Bible, and what other projects have you got coming up that we can look for you in?
Well, I got killed in Thailand just before Christmas, captured by pirates, you know, very uncomfortable. I think I got killed the other day as well. I got... I was a very successful circus manager in a film in Canada called Sophie, which is a rather nice family film. Having a 4.5-year-old daughter, I'm trying to do some children's stuff that she can enjoy along the way as well. I did a little bit of sci-fi in Ireland. Got killed by some strange alien creature, I think, almost before the opening credits. Last year was slightly constrained in that I was... It sounds so callous to put it this way, but I mean it well. I was basically waiting for my darling old wife to die. She'd had Alzheimer's for many years, and I didn't want to go too far away from home, so I tended to take almost anything that was offered, basically just to get away for a few days and, you know, have a change of scenery and concentrate on other problems and then get back. So I'm looking outside the window and there's Henriksen out there pacing up and down, putting his hand over his mouth and doing a false yawn.
So it's your fans have many things to look forward to then. You're still as busy as you've ever been. Finally, in the Silmarillion, on page 263, it says, "Brandir the Lame." No, never mind. I'm not really gonna go there. Well, thank you, Mr. John Rhys Davies, for speaking to us here, and I hope you have a fantastic time at the Armageddon Expo. I hope a lot of people can come down to see you.
I hope so too. It's lovely being in Australia, and the people that I've met here so far have been so kind and delightful. So do come down and see all the faces that you wish you could throw stones at, down at Armageddon. But failing that, do come and see Karen Allen anyway. This is John Rhys Davies. I hate the role-playing hour because they tossed a dwarf.
This is Lance Jenkins, and I hate the role-playing hour because they mostly come out at night. Mostly.
Things have really gotten out of control since you drew that comic depicting your friend Muhammad, otherwise known as Momo, and people confused him with the Prophet Muhammad. The issue was publicized in several international newspapers, we've had threatening phone calls, and we've had to hide in our home. I'm worried that everyone is out to get me. When I was getting the milk this morning, I could have sworn our neighbor's cat tried to jihad me.
The neighbor's cat didn't want to jihad you.
You really made our lives difficult, DM.
Oh mate, oi, some more mail just arrived.
Anything interesting?
Nah, just 1600 death threats and a passive-aggressive note from the upstairs neighbour about noise levels.
Oh great, she'll probably want to jihad us too. DM, do you remember when our life was simple?
Oh, I sure do. In fact, as I was coming home today on the bus with my fake moustache, dark sunglasses and sombrero, I looked out the window and I saw this guy just taking it easy. I was so jealous. I can never just take it easy, but I mean, this guy, he was really taking it easy.
How easy was he taking it?
He was walking so slow, you know, but he wasn't sick, he wasn't hobbling. He was a healthy young man. He wasn't waiting, he was going somewhere, but he just wasn't in any hurry to get there. The walk wasn't beautiful, he was strolling down a main road in peak hour traffic. But he was just content to walk slowly, just to enjoy life. Just, you know, he was taking it so easy.
He sounds like he was taking it pretty easy.
I was jealous. When I go to the shop for bread or something, I just want to be at the shop already and have the bread in my hand and then get the hell home. Heck, I don't even want to go to the damn shop. I just want the bread to appear in my hand. I never enjoy the journey. I walk at a million miles an hour, scowling daggers into the backs of the heads of slow fat people because I just can't stand not being somewhere already. And yet here was a guy on a mission somewhere, presumably, and he was just going along. So content. Not a care in the world. He was taking it so freaking goddamn easy.
Wish I could take it that easy.
I also wish I could take it that easy.
How easy can you take it, Dazza?
Pretty easy, but not that easy. That guy sounds like he was taking it easy like it was nobody's business. I can only take taking it easy so far. After that point, I just can't take it any easier.
You have an inbuilt easy-taking limiter?
Indeed I do, Willie. Indeed I do. I can only take it so easy, and then I can take no more. Well, if this man had taken it any easier, it would have begged the question, is he in fact taking it easy at all? Wouldn't he have simply been motionless then? How could we measure whether he was inert or in fact moving just enough to match the definition of taking it easy? He was taking it so easy that to take it any easier would have pushed the bounds of our very understanding of taking it easy.
He would have been a pioneer of taking it easy. A taking it easy cadet.
It's a pity we'll never know that guy's secret. Those carefree days of taking it easy are long behind us, I'm afraid.
Well, I'm sick of all these death threats. Such a backwards attitude to take. It's medieval. As we all know, the Middle Ages were just boring.
Boring? No bloody way, Willie. Have you seen medieval artwork and that? All those skulls? Middle Ages were metal.
Really?
Everyone in the Middle Ages was totally metal.
But DM, how could you antagonize everyone like that? How could you make all these folks want to kill us?
Hey, I just don't understand people. I never have. It was like that time I went to that party for your friend, remember? Hey, Joe! Here's Greg. Greg is a diabetic. And Joe here, he's an epileptic. I guess maybe you guys have something to talk about.
What do you mean?
Well, Joe, epileptic, diabetic, you both suffer from conditions. I thought you might be sympathetic to each other, you know? Dealing with conditions.
I'm not sympathetic.
Why not, Joe?
Diabetics killed my family.
Oh. Oh, I didn't know that. Joe, I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, be sure to think twice before you introduce me to people.
Oh, I...
Do you even know what diabetes and epilepsies are?
Of course I do. One's a condition and the other's a condition. They're conditions.
Oh, crikey, fellas, you sure do discuss a lot of issues and things. Conditions? I never talk about them. Is it always like this?
Oh, no, not really. Just a heads up, Dazza. Usually by about this point in the evening we get tired or run out of things to talk about and we just start making dick jokes.
Dick jokes?
That's right. Bland, unimaginative dick jokes.
It means we've truly, truly run out of ideas.
Oh, well, thanks for letting me know. So, one thing we haven't cleared up yet. Are you guys sure it's okay if I take Theodore's room and live here with all your scrope bags?
That should be fine.
Top stuff, because I hate house hunting.
Oh, I hate house hunting too. I hear you. One time, I was looking to rent a place and had to travel for miles. By the time I got there, I really needed to go to the toilet. And then I went in to inspect and peed myself in front of the agent. Oh, that was embarrassing. Well, I don't usually wet my pants. I mean, this isn't me. Just so you know, don't usually pee on the carpet. It's very out of character for me. I would never actually do this in the house. I mean, obviously, I did it in the house today, but you understand this is completely atypical. I'm usually very continent. Under normal circumstances, the property would remain utterly pee-free. So I hope that didn't affect my application. Look, I really don't want to get on the bus like this. Do you think you could give me a lift home?
Oh, I totally understand, mate. Once, I was waiting for the real estate agent for 15 bloody minutes, sitting outside in the porch, and I didn't know, but vicious red ants had crawled up me shorts. Crikey!
And, here is the, master bedroom.
Ah! Me testicles! Me cock and balls!
And the built-in robes, and,
Me nutsack! Me standing member for parliament! Me love hammer! Me pork sword! Me baby's arm! Me main vein!
Full reverse psyching air conditioning.
Me fly's eyes! Me cat stabber! Me Herman gelmet! Me bell end! Me hairy brain! Me mangina! Me veiny tree! Me cocked nostril!
And here is the sitting area.
Don't you understand, man? Me willy, me knob, me motorcycle kickstand, me tummy finger, me yogurt truck, me slag hammer, me veiny bangstick, me Captain Picard, me love trumpet, me fleshy flute, me French toothbrush, me ankle spanker, me pecker.
And the laundry here, and we've seen it all.
Thank you. Can I have an application, please?
Once I went house hunting and I didn't pee myself or get ants on my dick. and everything went fine.
Oh, sweet.
Well, that's my story.
It's top of shelf work there, Willie. Now, let's see, there should be enough room in the bottom of the fridge here for me 12 cartons of Melbourne Bitter.
Well, sharing house with the Bogan, I'm sure I can adjust.
Oh, hey, mateys, I just came to share some VB with you all and smoke a bong or two and... Who's this?
Go away, Roland. You're redundant now.
Oh, strength, but matey, what do you mean?
We live with a Bogan. You serve no purpose anymore. You're redundant. Go away.
Oh, fuck this. Oh, fucking meta comedy. Don't even rate it.
That's it. I'm sick of hiding in this house. You suck so much. I just wish there was someone, well, more awesome that could take our mind off all this stuff. Like, if there was someone around here who was just a super awesome guy, and by talking to him, we could forget all about how lame and horrible you made our lives. But we can't.
Oh, I don't know about that, Willie. Let me just interview actor Lance Henriksen.
Right, Lance Henriksen from Aliens, Lance Henriksen from Hard Target, Lance Henriksen from Terminator and the Millennium, Lance Henriksen, the super awesome guy. You're just gonna interview him?
Yep.
Now I'm here with Mr. Lance Henriksen, who's here for the Armageddon Expo. You can see him this weekend. Hello, Mr. Lance.
Yeah, you guys gotta come down, man. You gotta come down. It's gonna be great fun. Hi.
It sounds very exciting. We can see you. We can see John Rhys Davies. Apparently Karen Allen is definitely worth seeing.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of good people there. You wait. You're going to really enjoy it.
It sounds very exciting. You're always busy. What projects do you have coming up next? What can we look for you in?
One called Ambushed, which is not science fiction or horror, but it's a revenge movie that I'm starring in. And I did 11 films last year, so... And they're all different degrees of quality. My work stays the same, but there's one called Scream of the Banshee, which I think is hilarious. It's a very silly movie, and it's fun. It's a genre film. And what else have I got? I've done so many, man, I almost can't remember them.
I heard one that's coming up. You're going to be doing a lot of, there's a lot of action, a lot of physical activity, some fighting, some combat.
Yeah, the Ambushed has... A fight scene that lasts almost 18 minutes in the movie. The movie, that's how the movie opens. And I'm playing a guy who's like a Ted Turner guy who has had enough, and he goes down and confronts these people, and they all try to kill him. And he doesn't have a gun or a knife or anything, but he turns the tables on them and kills them with their own mistakes, so...
That sounds pretty exciting there. I understand that you're also an artist. Is that true? You're into ceramics and things like that?
Yeah. I've been making pottery since the 60s, so.
Wow.
Yeah, it's an obsession. It's a real obsession.
Are you able to bring anything like that with you to the expo, or are Australian customs too harsh on that sort of thing?
Well, just to carry this stuff, because I make platters that are like 36 inches in diameter, so, you know, or centimeters. That would be 60 centimeters.
So yeah, and you'd have problems with customs anyway. We have shows here just devoted to busting guys trying to take in a packet of chips and stuff like that. So you come with a big plate, they'd be like, "What's the plate for? What's the pottery for?
What plate?"
And I understand you actually you got into acting through your skills in art and design as well. Is that true?
Yeah, when I started out, I would do anything to be in theater. So I'd walk into a theater and heard they were going to do Antigone. That's what I was trying to say, and they would say, I would say, look, I'll do the sets for you, and I would paint them and design them, and I did really well. I mean, I did nice work. So, but it kept me closer and closer to acting, you know. So, then finally, I was in a play.
That's fantastic. So if you design the sets and then you star, it must feel like a god. You can command your entire universe, control the whole world. It must have been fantastic. And I understand you also had a very interesting and varied life before becoming a professional actor.
Yeah. I remember a line out of Antigone. These are my arrows, Creon. These are all for you. And it used to crack me up because the guy would stand on the stage and he'd lift his outfit. He'd go, these are my arrows, Creon. These are all for you. It was very funny.
You're very well known, of course, for the, especially at things like the Armageddon Expo, for the Aliens franchise, and it has many devoted fans, but I get the sense that you yourself are a bit of a devoted fan because you've been in many of the movies, you've been in video games.
I think I've done four Aliens movies and a video game, yeah.
What keeps you coming back? What makes you a fan of the Alien movies?
Well, it's the writers. You know, when they're doing these projects, they go, it's usually 4 o'clock in the morning, and they're struggling with a scene or an issue in the script, and they go, I got it. Let's bring Bishop back. You know, I mean, Walter Hill said to me at one point, go to England, Lance, have a cup of tea and a donut, and then come home. You know, it was supposed to be like, go and do a few scenes. And it ended up, I worked on it for a month, you know, so it wasn't go have a cup of tea. You know what I mean? So, I mean, they keep pulling me back in, man.
Actually, with the video games, I think I'm sorry, but I may have actually killed you in that last video game. I mean, you were genetically trying to engineer an alien menace, but I'm sorry, I may have killed you. I apologize about that.
So you're really good at these games.
Well, I haven't killed you on hard yet. I mean, maybe you can give me a tip. Is it left, right, left, down, up, or is it square, circle, X, Y? I don't know. I'm never good at the combos.
That is so sick. That is so sick, man. You're asking me for the information it would take to kill me.
Well, wait.
That is sick.
Have you?
It's not gonna happen, baby. No. I think what you ought to do is surrender.
Ah, I see. Yes, as soon as we see you on the screen, just say, that's enough, Lance. Leave us alone.
Yeah, back off, please.
The
check is in the mail. I'll send it to you. Yeah.
I heard a rumor. You're in Aliens vs. Predator as well. I heard a rumor that there's a bit of romance in the set between the alien and the predator. Is that true? I mean, you know, one has a mouth like a... The other one has a mouth like a... So, you know, it's a match made in heaven, really.
It would be like a tick and a crab getting it on, you know. They're very much tick and crab.
Yes, well, probably not the most...
Not something we'd all want to see.
Yeah, not the most palatable movie.
Like for eating a starfish, you know what I mean? It's like, no.
And you've worked with many great people. For me, the most exciting thing about working with someone like Sigourney Weaver would be 1 degree of separation from Rick Moranis. You know, she was in Ghostbusters with Rick Moranis, so that would have been exciting. He's close to my heart. You know, there's just I feel like there's a kinship even from afar. What are some of the actors you've been very pleased to work with over your long career?
Did you find his name to be kind of suspicious? It's like moron Moranis. No, okay. No.
You're bursting the bubble of my love here. What's happening? Famously in Aliens, you were chopped in half by the Alien Queen, and then in Alien 3, you played two characters, but one was just half a Lance. And you still managed to steal the movie with your half a lance. Do you think we'll ever see a movie chronicling what happened to the bottom half? A movie about, you know, maybe your legs, what happened to them, where they went, what they did?
That would be a really good movie called, you could call it Spider-Man, just the bottom half, you know. Mm-hmm. You'd maybe give him a couple more legs.
Yeah. Oh, and the
Arachnoid. Yeah. Oh, there's a title.
Yes, and I'm sure Bishop's a very good dancer as well.
Call him a toaster. Yeah. I mean, he's like a Vegematic toaster, or kind of a... I don't know, man. It's very hard. When you describe yourself as a synthetic, it's hard. It's hard because the poetry comes right out of it. It's all practical shit, you know. So
I prefer the term artificial human myself, but you know,
you and I are really getting along here.
They're doing a prequel now, so maybe the legs can like go through a wormhole.
Really can't wait to hear what you know. This is in development. And so when you get a guy like Ridley Scott that can pull a lot of, he can develop as long as he wants, he's going to end up with a really good movie. I'm very curious what it's going to be. I think a lot of movies, prequels are a great thing. But in this case, we've already done it because we did Alien vs. Predator, which was a prequel for Bishop. You know, he was into robotics, and so they built one inevitably that looked like him, which was me, which was him.
Yes,
confusing.
I'm very confused just listening. But so it's fantastic. We can come down to the expo. We can see you in the flesh. We can see all sorts of exciting other.
We can talk. We can jostle. We can sign and we can buy things and have a lot of fun.
It's fantastic. So if you've liked,
I'm
coming down for sure. Definitely.
Nice, man. Nice.
So if you've liked hearing,
you on the spot something.
Yes, that'd be great. So if you've liked hearing Lance on the radio, then you should come down and meet him face to face, because then you can feel the power. Thank you, Mr. Lance.
You can feel the power.
This is John Rhys-Davies, and I hate the role-playing hour because they smell like a dirty girl's pants. Why would I hate a dirty girl's pants?
You've got the wrong dwarf there, laddie.
This is Lance Henriksen, and I hate the role-playing hour, and I can sometimes be quite scary. So you should listen to me. No bullshit. I love to curse.
Oh, look at all those people. Look at all those angry people down there below. Huh.
DM, there's still so many of these angry people outside the house waiting to get at you. There are Muslims that are angry about the Muhammad thing, there's liberals that are angry that we offended the Muslims, and right-wingers who want to congratulate us that you offended so many migrants.
I didn't mean to offend anybody, this is crazy. Mate, the house is bloody under siege, ridgy-didge, Steven Seagal style.
You just seem to stir up a hornet's nest wherever you go, DM. Remember when we went to that hornet farm and you stirred up all those hornet nests? Why did you do that, DM? This is just like that time.
Right, I've had enough. I'm going to solve this. I'm going to go out on the balcony and talk to everyone.
Oh boy.
Struth, best of luck, DM. I'm going to hide under the couch and smoke durries. Don't worry. I can defend myself. I've been going to our local gym, Pontius Pilates, remember?
Good luck.
Here we go. People, calm down. I know I made a comic about my friend Muhammad, and I know some people got confused and thought I was trying to depict the Muhammad, which I wasn't, and I know that was offensive. I also know that racism against Muslims has become more socially acceptable, passing the dinner table conversation test, as Baroness Saida Warsi said. Books can be written about Muslims that would be considered offensive if they were written about Negroes, Mexicans, the Irish, or the Negro Irish, but I want to clear something up. First of all, if people say something bad about Muslims, they're not technically being a racist. Being Muslim is not a race, it's a religion. So they might be being culturally insensitive, which is similar to racism, but they're not technically being racist. And fair enough, ignorant people may confuse the two. Also remember, race you are born with, religion is a choice. Second, in the West, over the centuries, we have become accustomed to not taking religion very seriously. I don't know about the Bible Belt in the US, but in the UK and Australia, definitely. We just find religion a little quaint. We might show respect to religion in polite society, but it's the same sort of respect you show to your grandmother who's going a bit dotty and tells the same story every Christmas. It's like, oh, isn't that nice? The silly old thing. Let her have her fun. And it's not just you. We feel that way about Christianity. We feel that way about Buddhism. I mean, how many trendy Buddhists do you see whining about karma and then cheating on their wives with German exchange students and abandoning their kids to live in Stuttgart? Religion is just a bit silly and outdated to us. It's like floppy disks, Ataris, planes with propellers. If we don't take the religion which some of our countries were founded on seriously, why would we take anyone else's seriously? The idea of a multicultural democratic society which includes everyone basically means that we don't take any one person's particular religion very seriously by definition. If we did, then we would be declaring every belief of everyone we include in our society to be absolutely true and enforceable at the same time. That would be ridiculous and impossible. We don't care what God you believe in. We think it's fine that you believe in him, her, or it. But we feel the same about Fred next door, who's a Buddhist, and Mary down the street, who is Mormon. We haven't decided any of you are right when it comes to philosophical definitions of the universe just because we like having you as a neighbor. At the dinner table, it's okay to say, oh, that Mary, she's a Mormon, you know. Oh, really, a Mormon? I know a little about those. Don't they like those golden plates? Oh, that Fred is a Buddhist. Oh, that's great, a Buddhist. Don't they like German exchange students? And Tim across the road is a reformed Presbyterian. Oh, what do they believe in? Is it the thing with the people living in the hollow earth with the Lemurians? It is okay to say that at a dinner party because, as a democratic, multicultural society, we are politely disinterested. Every religion passed the dinner table conversation test a long, long time ago. We make jokes about religion at the dinner table. That's what we do. Because basically, religion is a little silly and quaint. I know that sometimes, unfairly, people get obsessive over moderate and extreme Muslims. They make up all these definitions, they get confused, like they can quantify belief, and sometimes we act like all Muslims are extremists, like we expected, but look at these crazy Christian protesters here, with their "We Hate Fags" signs. Yes, because of them, we lump all Christians under the same umbrella. We dismiss and make jokes about them because of their religion. We're used to doing that when it comes to religion. So it's not your race we're making fun of or being idly culturally supercilious over. It's your entire fundamental system of beliefs. That's all!
Multiculturalism isn't dead. It's only dead if we start prioritizing one race of people or one belief system over all others, privileging these over them, and tippy-toeing around some when we wouldn't around others. It's about demonstrating completely equal respect, while at the same time completely equal hands-off disinterest in personal religious beliefs. I didn't make fun of anyone's prophets, but if we can make fun of our own prophets, even our own God, make fun of her God and make fun of his God, then why should we worry so much about making fun of one particular religious figure? We're basically treating everyone the same as we treat ourselves. We're doing unto others as we do to us. We're treating everyone equally. And there is a philosophical principle you can take to the bank.
That's it. Kill him.
I agree. Kill the bastard.
Hey, I'm a Hare Krishna, and these guys insulted me too! Burn the house!
God damn you, DM.
This is Lance Hendrickson, and I hate the role-playing hour because, argh, they're chewing off my face.